Hello, and welcome to the Museum Hack Podcast. I am one of your hosts, Peter Vega.
And I'm your other host, Julia Kennedy. And here at Museum Hack, we think that museums are fucking awesome. Museum Hack, for those who don't know, began offering unique tour experiences at the Metropolitan Museum of Art in New York City to engage adults and people who don't think they like museums. Today, we host hundreds of tours every year at museums in cities across the U.S., in New York, Washington, D.C., Chicago, L.A., and San Francisco. And we've expanded to consult with museums to help them find new ways to engage new audiences.
So the purpose of this podcast is to dig deeper into finding new inspiration in the museum field. We'll be introducing and looking at trends from industries outside of the cultural sector, and we'll be interviewing people from both inside and outside the museum industry. Museums sometimes get a little too inwardly focused, or they get stuck on talking to those like in their departments or within the field. So we're going to take a look at what's happening in other industries, in tourism, marketing, tech, and all types, and start bringing that thought and those ideas into the museum industry.
So our first museum person to be interviewed on the pod will be you, Peter. Why don't you tell us what you do with the audience development team here at Museum Hack?
Yeah, so I am the audience development specialist for Museum Hack. And what I do is outreach to museums all over the world, and trying to get them to think about new and exciting ways of drawing in new audiences to their museums. So we do consulting projects with these museums to think of different ways of how they can approach addressing audience engagement.
Cool. Do you want to ask me what I do?
So what do you do with Museum Hack?
I have the delightful title of being the Audience Development Marketing Champion. I love having champion in my title, taking on any marketing-based consults we do, and I also run our social media. So if you see us online, that is probably me. I also occasionally write up case studies and content for our blog, just like this one that we're going to talk about today.
So this episode, we want to talk about the current trends of escape rooms. And we recently helped Arizona State University's Art Museum to implement escape room events in their space and called it Escape the Museum, banking in on the current trend.
So in our research for this episode, we found a great definition of what exactly these experiences are. This comes from the DeKalb Public Library in Illinois. An escape room is a physical adventure game in which players solve a series of puzzles using clues, hints, and strategy to complete the objectives at hand. So by this definition, Peter, have you ever been to an escape room?
I actually have never been to an escape room myself. Have you,
I have
Julia?
not,
Yeah.
and I want to go, but so many of them are horror themed, and I would just be a ball of anxious the whole time. So I can't.
See, I would love a horror themed
Yeah.
one. There's a bunch of, in doing research for this, there's a bunch of different ones that were kind of exciting. One of them was a Texas chainsaw escape
Nope.
room,
Nope.
which obviously Julia would not be about, but I'd be totally into. It'd probably freak me the fuck out, but I'd totally love being scared. So that'd be awesome. Yeah,
I'd just start crying like that's what
cool.
I'd picture for myself if I went to one of these. And I know there's ones too where like there's like a zombie that's like chained up and you have to get out of the room. Yeah, it's insane. But I feel like under pressure, I just start crying, like weeping.
Wait, so the zombie is chained up and then you have to escape the room before the zombie
Yeah,
gets
like I
unchained?
think it's not unchained. He like breaks it, or like the chain like lets out a little bit each minute by minute. I don't remember where I've seen that, but it just gave me anxiety reading it.
Oh my God, I would love to do that.
Ugh.
That would be terrifying, but awesome at the same time.
No, we found a bunch of other ones, and they seem way more delightful.
Like the Pokemon escape room in Japan.
Same time though, don't want to escape from Pokemon. Would want to be with Pokemon.
So you'd never want to
I
escape.
would fail miserably at that one. There were a bunch of other themed ones, Harry Potter themed one. But the coolest one I think we found was the VR escape room in Canada.
Yeah, that's pretty cool because that's using the new VR technology and incorporating it into the space at the same time. And so that's really awesome.
Yeah, that's a really interesting way to go about it because it takes up a lot of space, but in a VR escape room, it wouldn't take up nearly as much space, you know?
Right, you can use a much smaller space and use the virtual reality feature of it to actually make it seem like it's a much bigger space. And so we have some museums that are already making headway into these escape room concepts. And the Franklin Institute in Philadelphia, for example, they launched two escape rooms.
So the president and CEO of the Franklin Institute said in a release statement that this was an extension of like a bunch of current initiatives to reach new audiences. And what's really cool is that it's still lining up with the museum's mission. But he goes on, and I'll read the quote because it's great. "Developing an escape game experience at the Franklin Institute allows us to blend the puzzle-solving challenges that carry a universal appeal with the most advanced technology, all while encouraging critical thinking, collaboration, and problem-solving skills that are crucial to all fields of science." And I feel like that's what we try to do all the time in museum ed, fostering these skills, critical thinking, collaboration, problem-solving, things that museums are good at, right?
Right. But and then also thinking of new ways to introduce those ideas, and so that it isn't just the same events, the same programs, the same methods of doing it. You want to keep people coming back to the museum and feeling that they're getting a brand new experience, but they're also learning all of these skills.
We talk about learning skills too. We're also always so focused on, and museum ed in general, now that I think about it, is typically focused on kids. And one thing that's nice about escape rooms is obviously they're not super kid friendly, but they are ways to hit those marks about making something engaging, but in an adult context. And we don't always think about programs and programming for adults. Where you are doing skill building.
Totally. And for and bringing a new adult audience, there's totally a market for that for museums to bring in more adult audiences to have these experiences in museums, which is what we've been working on at Museum Hack.
Let's talk a little bit more about pros and cons of escape rooms because they are kind of trendy, and I feel like that can be both a pro and a con at the same time.
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, a lot of these trends come and go. And so the escape room trend is currently one that's really popular right now. And we're seeing them come up all over the place. And doing them in museums is one way of, keeping up with the trend. But at the same time, is this going to be sustainable? Because, these trends are going to eventually die out and are going to be saturated in the market. Investing time into developing one may be a challenge for a museum to do if knowing that it might be more of a temporary thing. At the same time, you're keeping up with the trend and doing something that people really want. So you're actually bringing in a program that people are familiar with and that they would be really excited to experience.
I like that you mentioned that it's a new way of doing it because even the context of an escape room, like we talked about, a lot of them they remind me of like Blockbuster exhibits in museums where it's just either big or grand or they do a lot of times have this horror element. And so a new way of doing them is really putting them in a museum context where you're adding your collection to it. So it's even refreshing, I feel like, the escape room trend. And that in a new way is, I think, why audiences are willing to pay like a premium ticket price for the experience.
Yeah, I like that you compared it to also the temporary exhibitions because actually, I mean, thinking about it, it would be. I just went to the Field Museum's Jurassic World exhibit, which was really awesome. But imagine if it would have been an escape room concept instead of just the temporary exhibition. How cool would that be, escaping
Once
the room
again,
before
crying, crying in a corner.
the raptors come in?
And for anyone who follows museums in any context on Twitter, I'm sure you've come across Sue the T-Rex on Twitter. And I feel like if Sue came to life, I mean, it just would be so sassy. Like, she just has such a personality. I think she actually does they, them pronouns, but they are so sassy. I also have, just in general, honestly, an irrational fear of things coming to life in museums. And this is long before Night at the Museum, honestly. I don't know, a little fear in the back of my mind. I'm like, oh, this is gonna come to life. Probably try to kill me. It's fine. Maybe it's the word escape invokes some type of horror element.
Yeah, and I mean, so at ASU, the Escape the Museum event had nothing to do with horror at all. And we'll be interviewing some of our friends who helped put on this event later on in the episode, but it was more of a, like an adventure mystery feel and not horror escape room idea. So there are definitely different ways of doing it that, Julia, you can attend and not have
even
to be
you
scared
anxious kids can enjoy these things too. Yeah, I really liked and I can't wait to hear more about what happened at ASU, and the only escaping that happened was the characters escaping. So when we get back from the break, we're going to be sitting down with our guests this episode. Stay tuned.
Hello, we are back with the Museum Hack Podcast. I am here again with my co-host, Julia Kennedy. Hi, Julia.
Hi, Peter. We have some very special guests today.
Yay, we're so excited. So we have some special guests with us, and they are some of our friends from Museum Hack. We have Dustin Groick. Hello, Dustin.
I like that you called me special because that's what my mom says I am. Yes. I feel right at home.
And then we also have Zach Martellucci. Hello, Zach.
Hello, hello.
How are you guys today?
Doing great.
Awesome. So we wanted to invite you guys onto the podcast to talk a little bit about escape rooms. So Julia and I had a chat about what escape rooms were like on the outside of museums, but you guys have actually facilitated an escape room concept inside a museum at the Arizona State University Art Museum. So we wanted to hear a little bit about your perspective on how this escape room concept can be brought into museums. We'll start with Dustin. So in terms of like how this even started, how did ASU even decide that they would attempt this escape room idea?
Well, so ASU, the ASU Art Museum, it's on campus in Tempe, and they reached out to us because we are really good at getting people into the museum, which is kind of funny for an escape where the plan was to get people out of the museum. But the reason was, so they want to do kind of a different type of event to get students and then recent graduates from come into the museum. And we recognize that when we do events, we want to try to have them be a little bit different. Because we're trying to reach people that might not otherwise come to the museum. So we kind of have to frame and couch it a little differently. So I think originally it was, I believe it may have actually been Zach's idea to try this kind of escape theme, knowing that people already kind of knew what an escape room was, and they kind of heard the term, and they would kind of have an idea of what it was. And with the idea being like, this is definitely something different than they would expect from a museum. So the escape itself, at first glance, it's just like, we need something that's going to grab people's attention and get them wanting to come to the museum and maybe experience it a little bit differently. So that was kind of the genesis of the idea.
And Zach, what made you think of like this escape room thing as like a cool idea to bring into a museum?
Well, I want to give a shout out to one of our coworkers, Jen Brown, because Jen is actually the first person to come up with this idea, writing a version of what we ended up doing at ASU. But I think the whole reasoning behind it is that you're taking something that is, like Dustin said, super clickbaity, something super relevant right now, and something that is not traditionally seen in a museum setting, so something a little bit lowbrow, and combining it with the highbrow of an art museum to literally escape from the museum. And I just use huge air quotes there, realizing that we're on audio only.
Have you guys ever actually done an escape room outside, like a real escape room?
You know, I've only done one once before, and I actually did it with Museum Hack, way back in the day when I first started. And, you know, it's a lot of fun, and there's a reason that it's super popular for a lot of people.
I think I was there too with you. It was fun. I had no idea what it was until we got there. And it was fun to kind of work with a team of people. Like, obviously, we were coworkers, but like, regardless, working within one single room as a team to try to figure out how to get out. And it was a fun thing, and I love the timing aspect of it. Like, you only had a certain amount of time. I like that you had to work together. And so it kind of seemed like there was going to be some way that we could easily translate, maybe not easily, but translate that into the museum. And like Zach said, Jen Brown did a great job of kind of prototyping a similar thing within the Met, which is enormous. So we thought it'd be fun to try to do a little bit more of a manageable thing at ASU.
So was that kind of one of the biggest goals of making the program at ASU?
I don't think specifically they're like, hey, let's get students in to be do team building. I think a lot of things that we think about on tour when it comes to adult groups or when it comes to like corporate audiences, yeah, we think about team building. But as far as the standard tour museum event experience goes, as millennials, we recognize that the whole social aspect of it can't kind of, it has to be part and parcel of anything. Like, we're coming for an experience. We're coming for an experience that we want to share with our friends in the moment, and then again, share on social media to a large audience. So the idea of doing a thing with a group of people where it's built, it's baked into the experience, it being a social thing that you have to work together, I think was like a natural thing for us to do at Museum Pack.
And would you say, so you've done an escape room in like a real escape room, and then you implemented it in a museum. Was there some challenges of it being in a museum space? Was it easy to implement in a museum space as opposed to doing it in like what you experience in the traditional escape room style?
I think doing it in the museum setting was definitely an added challenge, since a lot of the like traditional escape room clues are, you know, like physical, you know, you're touching, you're looking for things, you're like picking objects up and decoding. So we had to think about ways that we could get guests to interact with the objects, but not physically touch them, which is like huge, and totally changes how we went about approaching creating these clues. So again, like finding that medium between like, how can you actually engage with the art, learn about the art, but also still have a fun time and still make it feel like you're solving clues, was definitely a challenge for us.
Can you give an example of what type of clues were given as a way to do that?
Yeah, we played a lot with different mediums. So instead of just having all written clues where you're decoding things on a piece of paper, we played with the idea of having audio clues. So listening to different clues said by our different characters that we had, so that people had to interpret them in a different way. But also using, still going into the realm of the physical, but without being able to touch anything. So having, you know, pretty intense seek and finds, looking at a very close up picture of one of the objects and trying to match it with the actual object that's on display.
Sounds like a good practice for museums in general, whether you're putting on one of these or not, to just think about their collection differently.
I would totally agree. I mean, it was fun for us as museum nerds to put together the clues and the whole protocol for the evening, because that's exactly what it was. It's like, what are little vignettes or little modes that we could get people to look at or experience the museum and the collection differently? Obviously, like Zach said, without touching. But it was really fun for us to try to think about that way. Like, how is a totally new way that I could look at this? Or how do we reframe the way you explore a specific gallery? Or how to rethink the way that people interact while exploring the galleries? And that was really fun and beneficial, not only for us, but I think for the staff and for the museum in general, to give them kind of new modes of approaching their collection. Because a lot of the little pieces within the escape, you could take that one little activity, like Zach mentioned, the ultra zoomed in photos, and you could blow that up to a much larger thing that's just focusing on that type of engagement. So it was a fun way to kind of experiment with different modes and different ways of getting people to look and experience the museum differently, which ideally they'll be able to use moving forward, like individually outside of a large escape context.
One of the things we were thinking about is how even implementing these escape room ideas or scavenger hunts and stuff, how they can be sustainable for museums going forward, and talked a lot about it being a trend at the moment and that this may fade out with a lot of other things that are trending. And so, you know, escape rooms are popular now, but even attempting to do these projects, do you think that there's something sustainable that they can learn from this experience that they can continue doing in the museum going forward?
I think definitely. I mean, the way that we created it to, like Dustin said, is broken down into almost little modules, and combining those little individual activities with live experiences as well, having these characters roaming around that we're interacting with the guests on, like in a more live experience, I think is something that is really valuable for their staff, since now they're learning new ways for themselves to interact with their audience, but also realizing how people actually want to interact and what people get out of each of those little experiences.
Zach, I love that you brought up characters, because when I was reading, I think, a little bit more about what we had done at ASU, there were these like elements of characters, and we don't think about that ever in an art museum. Like, the only time I feel like I ever see characters at a museum is like a historic home.
It's like adding a little bit of a personal touch, I think, to the museum experiences as well, especially when you're doing something where you're talking about stealing from a museum. It already feels very sterile in the way we're approaching it, but then by having these people come in and share a little bit about themselves and whether it is their true self or their character, you know, they're trying to make the museum more personal.
I will say, though, that I think it's important when you do, for instance, characters, or whenever you do anything that has lots of interaction, then it has to be part and parcel to what you're doing. Like, it has to be baked in from the beginning. Like, for instance, if I was just in this museum and some quote-unquote character came up to me and started interacting with me, it would seem weird and forced a little bit. Like, and so because this entire thing was, well, like, in the event of itself, and people knew that all the parts of it were part of this larger scale thing, it felt more fun and authentic, and people, like, bought into the conceit from the beginning versus, you know, like, I don't know about you guys, but if I were just in a museum and I had a character come up to me and start speaking in some accent about a thing, it'd be a weird way to get started, and it would feel kind of disconnected from the rest. So when you have to kind of, like, what I've learned is definitely whatever the thing you want to do is in the museum, you own that and, like, bake it in hard from the get-go. You can't, for lack of a better phrase, you can't, like, half-ass an engagement. Like, do the thing or don't do the thing.
And that really honestly goes for not only if you're an art museum, but even a history museum where it, quote-unquote, makes sense, you know, because if you just have random people roaming around talking in funny accents, that can go great, or that can just kind of be annoying for a visitor.
Well, we actually talked, when doing research for the podcast a little bit, we were looking at different escape room concepts and saw different themes of, like, crazy escape rooms from, like, Harry Potter to Pokemon and all this stuff. But we actually also saw something interesting that a public library in Illinois had done an escape room concept too. So I was thinking, do you guys think that this type of concept can work with other types of cultural organizations, not just museums?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I think that like you said, it is a fad now, but I think that it's something that brings in the right level of competition and engagement while still being fun for people, that it can be done pretty much anywhere.
And do you think that this is actually a cool way of trying to draw in new audiences? Because that is the biggest thing that we talk about at Museum Hack, is how to bring in new audiences to the museum. And do you think that this concept is actually a way to bring in new audiences for sure?
I mean, I can say yes anecdotally, and I can also say yes based on the response to this event at ASU. I mean, we got a happy, frantic email the day after we posted the event on their Facebook page and other platforms. And the quote was like, in less than 24 hours, we've had more response to this event than in any event we've ever done in the history of our institution. So we knew, like, right from the get-go, okay, this does carry some, like, social clout. So yes would be my answer to that.
Well, thank you guys. This is awesome. Yeah, we wanted to hear how escape rooms ideas and using them in museums could actually be a way to draw new audiences, and see what that experience was at Arizona State University. And I appreciate you guys taking the time to chat with us about this. This was fucking awesome.
Yeah, thanks cool. for having us.
We got to give a big thank you to our guests, Dustin and Zach, for talking to us about everything they did with the Arizona State University Art Museum and the Escape the Museum. Sounded like a great time.
Yeah, it was fun. So tune in next time to hear more about how to expand your audience in a museum or in any industry.
And be sure to follow us on all our social media, on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. You can find us all at Museum Hack. If you have any questions or comments or suggestions, write Peter and I at peter@museumhack.com.
And don't forget, museums are fucking awesome.